Well, as winter and this cold winter that we're experiencing, these cold days this weekend, and hopefully going to be lightening up a little bit as we move into the week, start breaking way and making way for spring. Thoughts are coming to ways to entertain ourselves. And one way we can find entertainment, the arts at UCCS. They're coming alive with inventive ways to experience live theater, immersive sculpture, and much, much more at the Ent Center for the Arts. Joining me this morning with more to talk about this on information on art and artistic experiences, we have Caitlin Lowens, Artistic Director of Theater Works for UCCS Ent Center for the Arts, and Daisy McGowan, Director and Curator of the UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art, also known as GOCA. I think I said that right. And Caitlin and Daisy, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. They're joining me remotely. We hope you're having a good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
Shannon.
Caitlin, let's start with you. We're right now in the midst of February, right about the midway point, but what do you have coming toward the end of February?
Sure. Right now we're entering our tech week, actually, for a production that we have coming up the next 2 weekends. We are bringing back the live performing arts in inventive ways with a world premiere production, The Mitten, which is an outdoor COVID-safe shadow puppet show for all ages.
Oh, that sounds interesting. So how will it work?
Sure. So next weekend, the February 19th through 21st, and then the 26th through 28th on the grounds of the Ent Center for the Arts, groups of no more than 12 folks will gather, and they will walk around the outside of the Ent Center, and they will experience the story of The Mitten at 5 or 6 stations. So you'll stop for anywhere between sort of 3 to 6 minutes, hear a bit of the story, see a bit of the story, and then walk to the next station all around the outside of the Ent Center.
That seems a way to make it interactive, but also keep everyone socially distanced. We should mention The Mitten is a folktale, a story, and one of my favorite kids' books to read to my daughter. It is a illustrated version by Jan Brett. So I know that.
Oh, I love that.
You love that too? Yeah. So it's a great story and it really intrigues the kids. So this will be something that will be fun for the whole family. So Caitlin, tell us, who is Theater Works working with?
Yeah, we're really lucky to be partnering with two other companies, Katie Williams Design and Jay Parker Arts. And they're both Denver-based artists and puppeteers. Katie actually is from the Springs originally, but now lives in Denver. And they're overseeing a team of 9 local puppeteers. And we're telling this sweet story. As you pointed out, there are a few different children's books, one of them illustrated by Jan Brett. And it's just a lovely story about a lost mitten and a troop of animals who climb inside during the cold weather. And we've actually made it specific to Colorado in our adaptation by showing audiences animals that are all local to the Colorado mountains.
And all depicted by puppets and puppeteers, right?
Yes, and all shadow puppets. So we've turned the big, beautiful windows of the Ent Center into shadow screens on which we'll project these animals. And we're really lucky, right? We had a cold weekend this weekend, but next weekend right now is projected to be in the 40s, even a high of the 50s. So we think people will feel good as they walk around outside for the shows.
Right. You were off by a week from missing this really, really cold temperature. So that's good. And shadow puppetry, I mean, that's an art form that's been around for millennia. I mean, they practice that in a lot of different countries and on the continents.
Yeah, it's true. It comes from lots of different cultures. There's wonderful shadow puppetry in Indonesia, in India, and then American puppeteers have been taking it and making it their own for several decades now. And Katie and Julie use a couple of different methods, some that look a little bit more like traditional shadows, but then they also use a method that uses overhead projectors. If folks remember that from their time in like middle school science class, when a teacher might put a transparency up and write on it and sort of show it up on the board. So they also have some puppetry work that uses that technology as well. So it's really fun to see the different ways in which they approach it.
Great. Sounds much more advanced than the bunny and the dog that I can make on the wall of my room with a shadow.
We're here to give people inspiration for next level shadow puppetry.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to experience this in person, it really sounds like something that would be a great activity for moms groups and for others with young children. How can folks get tickets?
Yeah. So tickets are free for UCCS students. They're $7 for young people and they're $10 for adults. And we were selling out some of our performances, so we added them on Sundays. And folks can get tickets by calling the box office at 719-255-3232, or they can go to our website where you can purchase tickets online through the website.
And we should mention that that website has a wealth of information about everything that TheaterWorks does and all of their successes at the Entz Center for the Arts at UCCS. And certainly, we're talking about, you know, an event that's coming up. But also, if you have an event that you want to rent the venue for, is that still possible? Or is that something that has been restricted and limited due to COVID?
You know, there are restrictions and limitations that folks who are interested in renting the building will have to go through to make sure that we're keeping everybody, artists and audiences, safe. At the same time, we have been able to see a path through those restrictions. So just this weekend, there was a youth dance group that was able to perform on the stage of the Shockley for friends and family. So the dance students had a wonderful opportunity to show off their artistry in a beautiful space. So there are definitely ways that the staff at the Entz Center are finding to make it work and keep everyone safe.
Oh, that's great to hear. Some signs of returning to normalcy. Caitlin Lowens, the Artistic Director with TheaterWorks at the UCCS Entz Center for the Arts, giving us information. We're going to be speaking after the break to Daisy McGowan, who's a director and curator, I may be saying it wrong, at UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art, also known as GOCA. So we're going to be continuing the conversation here on The Extra, here on KRDO News Radio. And today we're catching up on some of the great new developments at the Entz Center for the Arts, as well as UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art. And joining us for this segment to talk more about that, we have Daisy McGowan, director and curator of the UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art. And Daisy, let's talk about some of the exciting events that you have coming up and exhibits. Tell us what's going on. We understand there's a project by Colorado artist Patrick Merrill. Tell us about this one.
Yes, well, thanks for having me on, Shannon, to talk about this. We are so excited to invite folks to connect with art outdoors. The Windmill Project was installed in October, so just at the end of October, and we've had over 5,000 people come through already. We have a way to count folks on the trail, and we think that's because this is a very special project. This artist is world-renowned. He has a wonderful large-scale sculpture. If you've ever flown out of Denver International Airport, you've probably seen it. It's a 7-acre sculpture, so it is large. So by comparison, this project is smaller, but it's quite immersive. It's 2,000 8-foot-tall poles, and you come up upon it on the hillside in Pulpit Rock Open Space, which is just a short walk north of the Entz Center for the Arts. And they're all around you. They surround you. And this sculpture is meant to help us understand and see the landscape in a different way, and then to visualize the shape of the wind across the landscape, which is something quite invisible to us. And it's been wonderful to hear from folks what this project means to them. Folks visit on their own. They take their dogs for a walk. Some folks walk the trails around Pulpit Rock Open Space daily, and to have this work here temporarily through next October has been very special, and it's been meaningful for us to offer that to our community.
And what do you think it says in a time of pandemic to see sculptures that really, I think they play on the juxtaposition between form, function, and also the great natural beauty that you'd see in this space?
Well, I think we're so fortunate in Colorado. You know, we are in this very cold snap. But we know that pretty soon the temperatures are going to rise up again, and especially when the sun is out, it's quite lovely to go for a hike and to get outside. And especially in the middle of a pandemic, I think our outdoors have been such a wonderful point of inspiration for folks as we move through a challenging time. And so the sculpture is meant to accentuate that, to maybe highlight the way you see the landscape, and the interesting way that temporary sculptures can, which all of our sculptures at the Center for the Arts are somewhat temporary and changing, to sort of highlight, well, what does that mean when it's gone, and to have that special memory. And the wonderful artists Christo and Jean-Claude, who were known for wrapping buildings with fabric and wrapping islands and taking on these ambitious projects in the natural world, I heard Jean-Claude answer a question once of why are their projects so temporary if they take all these years to realize? Because this project with the artist took us 2 years to work on, and we'll just be there, you know, hopefully for the next year. And so she said, much like life, it's temporary. Like special things in our life, like childhood, are short and fleeting. And in the same way, the way these artists are interacting with the landscape is there for a short time. And really, that landscape endures, obviously, well beyond our lifetimes. And so it's a meditative experience in many ways to take a hike and experience the art and think about all these big issues and think about time and space and our place in it. And then really at the end of the day, to just have a wonderful sort of adventure to walk north of the Yet Center about 10 minutes and see what you can find with art and the landscape.
And this is a hike that can be done, as I understand, night or day, correct?
Yes, that's what's very exciting. We do encourage people to go by day first to find it. And there are some signs along the trail to help you wayfind. And it's a very, you know, public used trail and really quite close. You can actually see the sculpture from the Yet Center for the Arts main doors. And that's a good starting point. You can park in that parking lot, walk over the footpath. There is another parking lot even closer, and this is all on our website. But by night, each of the 2,008-foot poles is topped by what's called an anemometer or a windmill, hence the name the Windmill Project. And the wind activates these to generate a downlight, an LED downlight. And so on a particularly windy evening, you're surrounded by these flickering, floating sort of presence of the sculptures, and the experience is profound and beautiful. But even if you get up there at night and the wind is completely still, which folks have asked me to predict when it's going to be windy, and I'm not very good at that, but I'm sure weather folks can relate to that request. But the experience is profound whether it's a windy night or not. The artist chose the site just north of the Center for the Arts because it has a wonderful dark sky quality. And what that means, a lot of communities now are investing in keeping parts of their area, you know, of the community dark so that you can see the night sky. And so you have a nighttime experience. We do recommend bringing a flashlight. There is a paved path that goes most of the way up to the sculpture. So even if you have mobility issues, you can walk fairly safely. But we also have the ability to give people closer access if they need it, and they can just request that as well.
Okay, great. Well, that's an outdoor experience where you can be consumed by art. You also have apparently a new exhibit that's opening at Goka downtown. Tell us about this one.
Yes, we are offering a range of ways for folks to connect. And so we have been offering visits to the galleries by appointment since the fall, and we've been able to do it safely. And you get your own time slot, and everything is sort of, you know, sanitized. It is absolutely sanitized between visits, and folks are taking all the safety precautions. So if folks feel comfortable visiting an indoor exhibit, we have a new installation of art by Kimberly English, and she was visiting the campus as part of the Female Emerging Artist Residency Series, and that is curated by our UCCF Visual and Performing Arts faculty. And that word curated, I heard you asking earlier, it really means sort of selecting and connecting. So that's really the job we do, is say, what would be an artist or an artwork that would be really wonderful for our community and our students to experience? And that's how we think about it. And Kimberly English works with found clothing, and you might never look at a sweater the same way again, as she unraveled the sweater completely and turned it into this amazing sculpture on the wall, and makes you think about your own clothing and your body in really interesting ways. And it's a really wonderful, lovely exhibition in that downtown space and free to visit, I should say, as well.
And would you call her a textile artist, or is it more of a found object artist?
Well, she is definitely a textile artist. She works with textiles, and I confided with her that I just got my first sewing machine this last year, and I'm really quite rudimentary in my skills. Her skills are quite astounding, I have to say. But then she started working with found clothing because it's so loaded with meaning. You know, there's this whole industry of clothing where it's thrown into landfills. Just the fact that we wear the clothing, it's so personal to us. And so she found she could tell her personal story and also connect to this larger story of the human experience by using clothing in really different ways, but certainly by bringing that that master's level experience of working with fibers and sewing and crafting textile art.
Right. Certain pieces of clothing, I think, always keep our memories intact. You know, that's why we keep, you know, the first clothes of our babies and yes. you know, if we had all thought to keep our first pair of jeans, they would probably now be back in style and be collector's items. We could sell them for a couple hundred dollars on eBay. So it definitely does.
They tell a story, don't they?
They do. They tell a story. That's exactly it. So if people want more information on these exhibits and much more about maybe some of the summer plans that are coming up for the Ent Center of the Arts and GOCA, where can they go for information?
You can go to our website, GOCA Digital, GOCADIGITAL.org. They can also call the box office, as Caitlin mentioned earlier, the 719-255-3232, and they can get information there as well if they'd rather pick up the phone than get on the web. But either way, our programs are free, they're open for everybody, and we're hoping to just get the information out to connect with our community and invite them in for a visit.
We hope that they heard the message, they heard the invite here on The Extra. Daisy, stick around. We're going to be talking to you a little later on. We have to take a short break for our commercial messages, news, traffic, and weather. When we come back, we're going to be talking once again to Caitlin Lowens, Artistic Director of Theater Works. We were talking about The Mitten, the program that's going to be opening next weekend, but we'll also be talking about some other exciting happenings that are coming up. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes it's the events we're talking about. And today our focus has been on the Ent Center for the Arts, as well as the UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art. And we were talking earlier with Caitlin Lowens, the Artistic Director for Theater Works, talking about The Mitten, a world premiere outdoor COVID-safe shadow puppet production that is going to be having showings next weekend, February 19th through the 21st, and February 26th through the 28th. And it's going to be an outdoor production, and you'll be able to get your socially distanced reservations for the showings on the grounds of the Ent Center for the Arts by contacting them at theaterworkscs.org. But right now, Caitlin, let's talk about any other programs that you have coming up in addition to The Mitten. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we also have coming up, we have virtual programming. So we, starting in January, have been offering a monthly play reading series. So in January, we offered Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. And coming up in February, on Sunday, February 21st, we'll offer a beautiful, newer Pulitzer Prize-nominated play called Eliot, A Soldier's Fugue by the playwright Chiara Alegria Hudace. So we're really excited about that story. It's a Puerto Rican American family. Three generations of them have been in the military. So we think it's a story that a lot of folks in Colorado Springs will relate to.
Because of the analogies to the multi-generational military service that a lot of families have around here?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. What do Colorado audiences, do you think, need to know about the arts and their importance during the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, as Daisy shared with what they have going on at GOCA, that there are all of these opportunities to see art outdoors, indoors, to take your family to the Mitten, to experience something over your laptop screen at home. And there's a lot of narrative about the arts sort of shutting down during this time. And while they certainly look different than they've ever looked before, most of the art organizations and TheaterWorks and GOCA are no exception, are still actively creating and also actively supporting artists. I know in the performing arts with actors and designers like we have at TheaterWorks, it's been a really tough time. So we're very proud of the fact that throughout this moment of the pandemic, we have been able to make creative opportunities for artists happen and also to offer them compensation during what can be a really challenging time. So when someone signs up to view a free reading, that's also part of how we help financially support artists, by providing them work during this moment.
And I know that, you know, it's got to be a difficult time to be an artist, because you look back at history and very few artistic references exist, for instance, to the Spanish flu that happened in the early 1900s. You really don't see around the country any statues to them or artworks that are dedicated to them. Do you think this pandemic is going to be different? Do you think artists are going to, once maybe there's a moment where they can take a breath and step back and look at it in its entirety, do you think that they are going to find it to be an interesting subject, it to be a subject that needs to be talked about and spoken about and have artworks created about?
I think that's a wonderful point, Shannon. Yeah, I think that folks right now are creating work about what it is to be by yourself and then what they anticipate it will be to be to come back and be in physical community with other people. I think, you know, I know I have playwright friends and they're certainly making right now in anticipation of coming back, or making right now for Zoom plays. You know, in other ways of communicating. So I think we'll see that work. I think we're already seeing that work happening now, and I think we'll continue to see it when we begin to return from the pandemic.
And we certainly want to do our part to support the artistic community. How can we do so, Caitlin? What would you suggest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know that supporting the there are lots of opportunities to join a virtual reading, to come to Elliott this weekend. Even though it's free, attendance helps us talk to donors, to purchase a ticket to the Mitten. There are other wonderful performing arts organizations in addition to TheaterWorks and arts organizations in addition to GOCA in the community that could also use financial support through donations. So it's a hard time for so many folks. And we absolutely understand that. That's why Mitten tickets are like $7 or $10, trying to make sure it's affordable for everyone. But there are also opportunities for those who can give to be generous to arts organizations, which then allows them to put artists to work creating new art.
Right, right. Because if we don't have, I think, something to help uplift us through the artistic experience, it's going to be seen as a very grim time indeed. Caitlin, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joining Caitlin and Daisy again. We're going to be talking about all the exciting arts exhibits and activities that you can take part in through the Entz Center for the Arts. Keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And Daisy McGowan is joining us. She's the director and curator of the UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art. And we were talking a little while ago, Daisy, about the Windmill Project by Patrick Marold. So I'm not sure if Mr. Marold fancies the comparison with Christo. I certainly would find it very flattering if I were he. But Christo and Jean-Claude were a couple of artists. They were married, and they had envisioned the covering of the Arkansas River, that project that was going to be so monumental. It never happened, right?
That's right.
That's right.
The process even was important to them. Their artwork is, it's not this one end point. But I do think that Patrick, by comparison, is probably happy to have the work actually happen. And we didn't have anywhere near that level of controversy and complexity. But I brought up that comparison because when you do put art outdoors into the landscape, you tend to hear from folks, you know, either positively or negatively. You're putting things maybe in a space that are unexpected. And I think there's definitely a lot of different opinions about that. But in the case of what we're doing, we've heard so much positive feedback. And for folks who I'll take the calls too to talk to folks who have concerns and say, you know, this is an artwork and it's here for everybody. And bring your kids, bring your dog, go for a hike, check out the art. And it's temporary. So at the end of the run in October, it'll be gone forever. And so it's a short time that you get to experience it as well. So that makes it special, much like the Over the River project was going to be. But
with Crusoe. And that's why you had mentioned a quote, and that's why I wanted to mention another quote that attributed to Crusoe, that each project is a unique image. I mean, you can't experience that as it is in any other place. And we do not know in advance how the work will look. And when you look at the project, the windmill project, it's the same thing. You don't know how it will look. You also don't know how it'll make you feel until it's established. So really bringing all those elements together makes it a very unique experience to be out there in nature surrounded by those windmills.
Absolutely. And that's what's so exciting about the work I get to do. I collaborate with the artist and we work together. He had actually presented this first in Iceland, in Vail, in Vermont, but he says now this is his favorite iteration of this is the fourth time it's gone in. And, you know, we didn't really know that we actually hit actual boulders in the ground as we were trying to install this. We drilled 6,000 holes. And, you know, each hole had to be drilled three times working around a very rocky landscape. We had to go through all the engineering and, you know, archaeological and geologic approvals. We really, you know, go through a whole level of affirmation that everything's going to be okay. It actually will improve the soil because it's sort of like when you aerate your lawn, when the project leaves, it'll improve it. All the things that Crusoe and Jean-Claude sort of contended with, but on a smaller scale. But there's that element of not knowing how is it going to, you know, feel. And we love that folks are getting that experience and telling us about it when they go experience the work there. So I see myself as a collaborator, but the community is also a part of this. It's sort of like if a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound? You know, if nobody goes to see the art, the audience, the folks in the community engaging with it are so critical to make it what it is. And that is, you know, more than just a photograph in a landscape. Like you said, it's that unique experience that you can't really get anywhere else. And it's fleeting, right? So it won't be there forever. So we hope folks get a chance to experience it. And it is part of a larger project we're calling The Spaces Between, which we'll be rolling out over this spring with multiple outdoor projects. At the End Center for the Arts, we actually have a gold hunt that's going to be bringing folks to locations across the Front Range of Colorado. We're offering a number of free experiences and adventures. There's a billboard that will have an artist, one of the most well-known painters in Denver will have an artist. We'll have a painting on a 60-foot wide billboard in a farmer's field just east of on the plains. And projects like that ranging outside of the gallery so folks can check out and learn more about that on our website, and our social media will be posting all of that.
Now,
we're really excited to bring that element of surprise in multiple ways, but the Windmill Project is a very important part of that.
For the Windmill Project and these other outdoor experiences, do you need to have reservations, or is this a open to the public at pretty much the specified times?
Yeah, they're open and available. We may have a couple events this spring and summer. We might have some organized nighttime hikes that you could walk with the artist or myself and other folks that are very passionate about this work, and the same with some of these other projects I'm talking about. But for the most part, we want to offer these free to find They're quite easy to find. They'll be right near the Ant Center for the Arts, if not immediately on the grounds of the Ant Center for the Arts. This is about a 10-minute walk, and it's very accessible. And that element of adventure of finding it is exciting, too. On our website, we have maps. We have some GPS points that we'll be providing for folks if they, however they want to try to navigate. We hope that they'll take a chance. It's like Caitlin mentioned, you know, we're trying to think of inventive ways to connect arts to our community. And there's a lot of excitement in that. There's a little bit of unknown, just like working with the artists to realize this large-scale work. You know, we didn't know if it would even be possible. And maybe when you set out on this hike, you think, gosh, will I even find this sculpture? But then you follow the signs, and we guide you there, and then you have, you know, hopefully a meaningful experience, and that it's and adds an element of adventure to our lives right now when we could use an excuse to get outside and to offer you something special to connect
right.
with.
Right. And Caitlin, when you're talking about, everybody has talked about, you know, they want to be in a cocoon during this pandemic. And a cocoon, that feeling is something that is offered in your current exhibit that you have at the Goka Downtown Gallery, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The artist Kimberly English has created sculptures that absolutely will give you the warm fuzzies, I think, and they'll make you think in interesting ways, and think about how you could take a simple sweater and unravel it completely and make a work of art that is so evocative. And so, yes, folks can, and we also want to make sure you feel like you're safe in that cocoon. And so you can bring your own pod, you can schedule your own time, and it's just for you solo, or you can bring your family or your group in for your own time in the gallery. And it's very easy to schedule that. And we make sure it's a safe and pleasant experience for everybody who feels comfortable going indoors to experience the fiber art of Kimberly English right now.
Great. Well, we wanted to guide listeners to the two websites that they should really consider checking out if you are listening and are interested in any of these arts experiences, theaterworkscs.org and also gokadigital.org. And I'd like to thank our guests for today, Daisy McGowan, and Caitlin Lowens. And before we go, we have time for just about 30 seconds with you both. Daisy, what would you like our listeners really to know and to really grasp about today's extra segment?
Well, I hope they know that we are working very hard, like Caitlin mentioned, to make art accessible in this time and to bring a platform for artists and to support our artists in our community. So the exhibitions we're talking about are, many of them are Colorado and Colorado Springs artists. And then also for our community to connect to art in safe and exciting and meaningful ways, and to offer the arts through it all, as we've said with a campaign we were promoting this past fall. Arts are there for our community, and we hope that our community will be there for the arts as well.
Okay. And your partner in this endeavor? Go ahead. Okay, we may have lost them. All right, well, I'd like to thank our guests, Caitlin Lowens and Daisy McGowan, both with UCCS. Caitlin is the Artistic Director for TheaterWorks, the Ent Center for the Arts, and Daisy McGowan, the Director and Curator of UCCS Galleries of Contemporary Art. Thank you for your time, ladies. We appreciate it and all the information, and we'll make sure we get that posted on our podcast page. So if you're interested in listening to this again, you can go to our podcast page just by going to krdo.com/radio. You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.